And amen. Well, tonight we're going to be studying about the final kingdom upon the earth before the kingdom of the Lord. This is the composition. We're going to be teaching tonight on the composition of Satan's final beast empire. I think I might be getting a little feedback. And we're going to read from both the Old and the New Testament, but if you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to start in the book of Daniel. And we're going to be reading from chapter 7 in the book of Daniel to begin. Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 3. And guess that you can see the chart here of the different beasts. We are looking at four great beasts. The Bible says in Daniel 7 and 3, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. Now behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side. And it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful, and exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, an 11th horn. Before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. God bless you. Now, these four beasts that are found in the book of Daniel, we will see again in the book of Revelation. But these four beasts, a lion, a bear, a leopard, and a terrible beast. Now it's very clear who this terrible beast is, with the teeth of iron. In fact, that takes us back to the second chapter of Daniel for reference, where Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and in that dream that he saw an image. And the image had a head of gold. It had a breastplate of silver. It had loins of bronze or brass, and legs of iron, and its feet were a part iron and part clay. And so by comparing Daniel 2 with Daniel 7, we see parallels. First, we see these four kingdoms revealed as to their identity in Daniel chapter 2. The head of gold, the Bible tells us, was Babylon, the kingdom that was in that particular day when Daniel interpreted the dream. And then the second kingdom, the kingdom of silver, was the kingdom of Medo-Persia. And then the third kingdom, the represented by the bronze on the loins, represented the Greek kingdom. And then finally, the legs of iron, which was the Roman Empire. And the 10 toes of that image that were part iron and part clay, they relate to the 10 horns that we see here on the terrible beast in Daniel chapter 7. They are 10 kings or kingdoms that shall have power with the Antichrist, the Bible says, for a short space. The little horn that came up among the 10 that had eyes and a mouth speaking great things was a symbol of a man that will rule those 10 kingdoms. And in coming to power, 3 of those kingdoms will be plucked up by the roots. That's the meaning of those symbols, that he shall usurp power over those 3 kingdoms and consolidate his power over the 10. We want to go now to Revelation chapter 17 and read a parallel portion of Scripture. Revelation chapter 17 and beginning with verse number 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit up on a scarlet colored beast. Now look down for just a moment. I want to take you to verse 18 that gives you the meaning of the woman. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now, when this prophecy was given in somewhere around 95 or 96 A.D., the reigning empire, the empire that ruled over the Mediterranean world, it ruled most of Europe, all of North Africa, and the far western reaches of Asia, including the Holy Land, was the Roman Empire. And so the Bible gives us the interpretation of the woman. The woman is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. That is the city of Rome. So let's go back now. In reading that, we understand that this woman is Rome, and that she sits upon a scarlet colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. There's the 10 horns again that we read in Daniel chapter 7, which would comprise the final beast empire that would be destroyed by the kingdom of God. When Jesus Christ returns, he will destroy the Antichrist, the Bible says, by the brightness of his appearing. And that stone that was cut out of the mountain in the vision, it smote the image that was the gold, the silver, the bronze, and the iron, and the iron and clay. And it became powder. And that stone became a great mountain that filled the earth. And so the kingdom of God is going to triumph. That Jesus Christ will rule and reign over the nations. And the nations that honor him and acknowledge him as God and Savior, they will be blessed with Israel in the millennial reign, which is 1,000 years of peace, where Satan is bound. You can read that in the Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through verse 4. But here we read that of the 7 heads and the 10 horns, it will give us an interpretation in this passage of what these 7 heads are, out of which comes the 10 horns. And verse 4 says, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, that the Roman Catholic cardinals are arrayed in those same colors. They are dressed in both purple and scarlet. And so these colors have significance because they identify who this woman is and the empire over which she reigns. the Roman Church had great influence throughout history, and especially during the time of the Holy Roman Empire. We know that that empire eventually came to an end, and it was revived for a short period right before World War II. But we will come back to that at a later time in this teaching tonight. But we see the purple and scarlet color that the woman was arrayed with, and she was decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. That the Roman Catholic Church is the wealthiest church in the entire world. It is the only religious body that actually is also a state, that it is recognized as a nation state. Vatican City is an independent entity within the nation of Italy, and they have their own ambassadors. They have their own representatives of government. They coin their own money. They have their own laws. And so it is a very powerful in terms of influence and wealth. That we see this symbol here, and she has a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Now the fornication here is not speaking, because she is a symbol, it's not speaking of literal fornication, but this is spiritual fornication. Spiritual fornication is whenever you defile something that is holy and that is righteous by mixing it with false doctrine, with pagan rites and rituals. And this is characteristic of that Roman church. Verse 5 said, upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, and the abominations of the earth. The Babylonian priesthood, which originated in the city of Babylon, which today is known as Al-Elah, Iraq. This was where the Babylonian priesthood originated, and it was transferred from Babylon to the city of Pergamos, Minor, and then the Etruscans took this Babylonian priesthood to the city of Rome. And eventually, they transferred that Babylonian priesthood, the Pope of the Roman Church. He now is not only the head of the Roman Catholic Church, but he is the high priest of the Babylonian priesthood. And so this is why that this symbol here is called Mystery Babylon. It's not speaking of the literal city of Babylon, but rather of a religious system that originated in Babylon and that was carried to the city of Rome and to perpetuate the idolatry and the wickedness that originated in the literal city of Babylon. And in verse 6, the Bible says, I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. How many have read Fox's Book of Martyrs? That book is full of examples of how that true Christians were persecuted and called heretics because they believed something other than the official doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church during the time of the Inquisition, especially in Spain, that multiplied millions of people, both Jews and Christians, were the target of the Roman Catholic Church. That it has been said that Christopher Columbus was a Jew and that he withheld his true identity for fear that he would be killed. But this was a terrible period of time. Throughout the history of that church, there has been multiplied millions of people who have given their life in order to hold fast to their faith. And they were martyrs of Jesus, the Bible says. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Why would he wonder? Because the Catholic Church did not exist at the time of the prophecy. There was no Catholic Church or a Roman Catholic Church in 96 AD. The only church was the true church of the living God. And so this is prophecy, and this vision was giving him an insight of things that were to come to pass. Now it is historical to us, but it was prophetic to John at the time that the Lord gave him this revelation. And in verse 7 it says, "And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman." Isn't it wonderful that we don't have to be in doubt? That it's not something that we have to speculate about, but it's revealed in God's Word. And I want to tell you tonight that you don't have to have great wisdom or understanding to understand prophecy. You have to have a very earnest desire and be passionate about discovering the truth of God's Word. But everything that is written in this book, amen, can be understood if you carefully compare Scripture with Scripture. Everything that we're going to be studying tonight, I'm going to be giving you references, places that you can go on the internet, books that you can purchase for yourself. The most important purchase you can make is the Bible. And that this book reveals itself. Amen. The Holy Ghost will help you to understand this book. Because it was meant to be understood. It's not some mysterious thing that cannot be understood. It's something that every one of you can understand, amen, by diligently comparing Scripture with Scripture, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Amen. So there's nothing hidden that you cannot, amen, understand if God intended for you to understand it. Now, there are some mysteries that we don't understand because now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. But it is the will of God for you to study this book. In fact, the Bible says that there's a great blessing in studying the book of Revelation. It's not some mysterious book that you should just push away somewhere and ignore it, but you will receive great blessing and you will receive great encouragement from reading this book because, thank God, we win. Amen. We're victorious. Can you say praise the Lord? And so the angel said, "I'm going to tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns." So listen very carefully. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Now, we are made to understand right now. Remember what kingdom existed in that day. The Roman Empire. This beast that we see here, amen, the Bible says that it was and it is not. So it is the revival of a kingdom that once existed. It was, but it is not, but it shall ascend. That one of the seven kingdoms will be revived in the latter day. And we are to made to understand that that kingdom will not be Rome. There's not going to be a United States of Rome in Europe. The European Economic Community is not going to fulfill that scripture because this beast that was is not and shall ascend. It's something that was not in existence in John's day. But it would be revived. Now we're seeing here that this woman, which is the city of Rome, is going to sit on this beast. That Rome is going to have an influence over this world empire that comes up, and the ten horns that came out of Rome. If you go back to Daniel, that we recognize that Rome is that fourth empire out of which came the ten horns, that they came out of that empire. But they're not going to revive the Roman Empire. They're going to revive a beast out of the past. The beast that you saw was, not is, but it was. It is not. It is not now in existence. And it shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. They're going to be in wonder of this beast. They're going to be in awe that this kingdom that once existed is going to be revived in the latter day. All right. And the Bible says, they're going to wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So the world is going to be in awe of this great beast and the man that shall rule over it. Amen. But notice that who is going to be in awe and there's going to be in wonder of it? Those whose names are not written. So if your name is written in the book of life, amen, now you're not going to be in awe of this man or this empire. Amen. You know who we're going to be in awe of? We're going to be in awe of the power and the kingdom of the Lord. Where iniquity doth abound, the grace of God doth much more abound. Amen. If there's any awe, shock and awe, it's going to be the power and authority of God's church in the last days. Amen. We're not going to be intimidated, amen, by the devil and his tricks. Amen. Those that are going to be in awe and in wonder are those whose names are not written in the book of life. Everybody's going to be in awe, but not the church. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. The church is not going to be in awe. Amen. They're not going to acknowledge him as any great man. Amen. For he will do the work of Satan. He will be a deceiver. Amen. False miracles. Preaching a false gospel. That doesn't impress me. That doesn't impress God's people. Why? Because we have the truth. You know, the best defense against false doctrine is a love of the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. You won't be deceived by the deceiver. Amen. If you know in whom you have believed. Hallelujah. I know who I believe tonight. Now look at verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. Now, amen. If you have wisdom, listen what the angel has to say. Here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. The city of Rome sits upon seven hills. Now it gives us another meaning. Now these seven mountains or hills are both literal and they are symbolic. First we notice that the woman, which is a symbol in itself, sits upon these seven hills and is a city. A city on seven hills or mountains. And, verse 10, and there are seven kings. That word king is also translated kingdom. So not only do the seven hills represent a literal place where the woman or the city is, which is Rome, but it also represents seven kingdoms. Five are fallen. Now here's the key in verse 10. Here's wisdom. Amen. Five of them are already fallen. Now what five kingdoms subjugated Israel in history? Five of them were already fallen. Now the sixth kingdom was Rome. Rome was then ruling the world, and Israel had been destroyed by the armies of Rome in 70 AD, just as Jesus had prophesied. So this is following the destruction of the temple and the Israel fleeing into the wilderness. So the diaspora had already begun. That Israel was scattered to the four winds under this sixth world kingdom. Who are the five kingdoms that existed prior to Rome? Well, if we go back in biblical history, go to the Bible if you want to understand that. The first nation to persecute the people of God was Egypt. That Israel was in bondage 430 years before God sent them a deliverer to bring them into the land of promise. Egypt was that first kingdom. So Egypt is one of the seven hills or seven mountains. The next nation, a great kingdom that God used to bring judgment upon God's people for their rebellions, for their backsliding, was the nation of Assyria. Assyria and its capital of Nineveh. This was the city that Jonah went and preached unto, because God was going to judge that city for its great wickedness. But Assyria, and in 721 A.D., Israel went into Assyrian captivity, and the 10 tribes were taken into the area of Central Asia, where we now recognize the nation of Afghanistan. This is Israel here. Can you see the map, or is the podium in the way? Let's see if I can move this to the side a little bit. That here is Israel, here at the far eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea. That this was where Assyria was, in Mesopotamia. And the Assyrians took the Jews from the northern kingdom into this area here, called Susiana. It was known as Susiana in that time. And is the area roughly eastern Iran, Afghanistan, and Turkestan. This is where many of the 10 tribes were first taken. Many of the 10 tribes have now been discovered. If any of you are interested, there are several websites that you can visit. Some tribes of Israel. And in fact, in this area here of Xinjiang, which is the Turkish portion of China, northern India, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, that many of the former lost tribes have come to acknowledge their Jewish heritage and have returned to the land of Israel and are recognized by the Jewish government. And so Assyria was the second nation that was to persecute or subjugate the Jewish people. I'm still getting a little bit of feedback. The third nation was the nation that was ruling at the time of Daniel's first prophecy in Daniel 2, and that was the nation of Babylon. That was number 3. Of course, Babylon was represented by the head of gold and also by the lion with eagle's wing. The fourth kingdom to rule over Israel was Media-Persia. The Media-Persians conquered Babylon. And Daniel was also a part of that kingdom. And that's, of course, the breastplate of silver and the bear with the 3 ribs in its mouth that was propped up on one side. That was the Media-Persian kingdom. And then the fifth kingdom was the Greek kingdom, the kingdom of bronze, also represented by the leopard with the 4 wings and the 4 heads. And so the Bible says that 5 of those kingdoms were fallen. There were exactly 5 world empires that preexisted the Roman Empire. So here the angel of the Lord is giving an explanation to John of what the meaning of these 7 kingdoms are. 5 are fallen, and 1 is. The one that is was the Roman Empire, the 6th world empire. That these empires are all given in symbol in the Old Testament. The 5 that were fallen, The one that was prophesied in the book of Daniel, and also in portions of the Old Testament, that we see all of these kingdoms. But now we come to a kingdom that was never one time revealed in the Old Testament. Now the eighth kingdom, the final beast empire, was revealed in the book of Daniel and in the book of Ezekiel and the book of Jeremiah and the book of Isaiah and the book of Zechariah and numerous other passages in the Old Testament talk about the final beast empire, which is the eighth kingdom. But nothing in the Old Testament ever hinted of a seventh beast empire. Not until we come to Revelation chapter 17 is any hint that there was going to be an empire between the sixth empire and the final beast empire. Is that ringing, still ringing some? Maybe it'll help. The monitor, okay. All right. And so that sixth empire, the one that was at that time, we acknowledge, everybody understand, was the Roman Empire. In 96 AD, Rome ruled the world and continued to rule the world for a number of centuries after that. And then we know that there will be a final beast empire comprised of 10 kingdoms out of that Roman Empire, which is the eighth and final beast empire. But no one knew in the Old Testament that there would be a seventh empire between the sixth empire, between Rome and that final beast empire that has not yet been revealed. It would appear during a period of time when Israel was not in the land. There was no national Israel. Remember in 70 AD, Israel fell to the Roman armies. And the temple was destroyed and the city of Jerusalem was burned. And so it was without a homeland up until when May 14, 1948, that Israel became a part of the family of nations once again. This seventh beast empire existed prior to Israel becoming a nation and the rise of the final beast empire of the Antichrist, but after the fall of the Roman Empire. What nation possibly could meet the requirements of Scripture? Let's look at what the Bible says. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. All of these empires endured for several centuries. We look at each of these empires. The Roman Empire was very long in duration. The Greek Empire, likewise. All of the empires that we've talked about that were fallen and the one that was all endured over a significant period of time. But this seventh beast empire, now we know the eighth one came out of, will come out of the Roman territory, but it will not be a revival of the Roman Empire. It will revive one of the seven heads, one of the seven kingdoms, amen, which was and is not and yet is. And so what nation could possibly meet the requirements of coming and being a persecutor of Israel and only continuing a short space? It appears that the only nation that could meet this requirement would be the Third Reich of the Holy Roman Empire, better known as Nazi Germany, which Hitler came to power in 1933. the year my father was born. And Hitler continued in power from 1933 to 1945 till the end of World War II. What a very brief period of time. Only 12 short years. That Hitler's empire was called the Third Reich because he proclaimed it to be the third reign of the Holy Roman Empire. The Holy Roman Empire, of course, was begun by Charlemagne, who was also a German. And he revived the Roman Empire after that it had crumbled in the East. Now, rather in the West. In the East, the Roman Empire was still intact. And the capital was not Rome, but it was Constantinople. And they later changed the name of Constantinople to Byzantium. And then they changed the name of it from Byzantium, and it is now known as Istanbul. Istanbul is the capital, or was the capital, of the Eastern Roman Empire, is now the largest city in the nation of Turkey. But that empire continued another over 500 years after the collapse of the Roman Empire in the West. Brother and Sister Grissom were in Venice, was it last year? And the city of Venice was for a period of time under the power, under the control of the Byzantine Empire. And much of the architecture of that area was greatly influenced by the Byzantine period. So the Roman Empire continued, although under a different name, in the eastern part of the former Roman Empire. But this Third Reich was the revival of Charlemagne's empire. There had been two previous empires from 800, around 800 A.D., I don't remember the exact period of time, up until about 1700, that there had been a Holy Roman Empire, and the Roman Catholic Church had exercised great power and authority, just like was revealed here in Revelation 17. The woman that was on that beast controlled that empire. It set up kings, it set up, and it brought kings down. It, in effect, legislated the laws that people live by. And so Hitler, his desire was to revive that Holy Roman Empire. And so he established that the Third Reich of the Holy Roman Empire, 1933, continued to 1945. Now, what was it about this empire that makes it qualify as an oppressor of Israel? What no other empire even came close to doing, Hitler almost succeeded. And that was destroying God's people. They were oppressed by Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia. In fact, under the Persians, wicked Haman almost succeeded. Haman was a descendant of Amalek. Anybody remember Amalek? God had told Saul to destroy the Amalekites, but he failed to do that. And it almost cost them, because Haman, amen, caused a law to be put into place to destroy every Jew in the nation of Medo-Persia. But they failed because God had his hand on his people. And they celebrate Purim today because that Esther came forward and she became a savior to her people. And then there was the Greek Empire and how the Greeks greatly tried to destroy the heritage of the Jews. And even when Antiochus Epiphanes was the king of the Greek Empire, that he set up an image of himself in the temple of God and offered a pig on the altar, desecrated the altar of God, and killed those Jews who would not recant their religion and worship him as God. That we see all this, how that was a type of the future Antichrist. And then we see Rome, the Roman Empire, and how that Israel, that thousands were killed, they were stoned, they were stricken down by the sword under the Romans, such cruelty during that period of time. But none came near the power of Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich. It has been estimated that over 6 million Jews died in the Holocaust. Another 13 million Christians died in the Holocaust. How many of you knew that? We hear a lot about the 6 million Jews, but not very much about the 13 million other people that also died under Hitler's death machine. That Hitler proclaimed a 1,000-year Reich. Where do you get that? Right out of the book. He believed that he was the Antichrist, and Hitler was the almost Antichrist. He was an Antichrist. He wasn't the Antichrist, but he was a Antichrist. And so this seventh world kingdom that is mentioned here most undoubtedly was the Third Reich of the Holy Roman Empire, or Nazi Germany. And then we find in verse 12, and the ten horns, now this is future, they have not yet come together. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Hitler's empire was very brief, only 12 years. This last world empire will be even shorter than the Nazi Germany empire of World War II. For he shall rule and reign over the ten kings for 42 months, which is 3.5 years. Very short in his reign is total control. The first 3.5 years will be making war and obtaining power. Remember, he makes a treaty with the holy people at the beginning of the 70th week, and in the midst of the week that he breaks that covenant. By that time, he has gained control over the ten kingdoms by destroying three of them. Remember, the second seal is symbolized as a red horse with a great sword as he goes forth to conquer. It's followed by famine and death, and then by great persecution. But God is going, aiming to limit him in power. Thank God for grace. Satan can't just do what Satan wants to do because he's limited by the power of God. So, Revelation 17:10 reveals that at the time of John's vision, I'm going to try to go through this fairly quickly, on the Isle of Patmos, that five of these kingdoms or empires had already fallen. We know what they were because history records them as well as the Bible. One was in existence at that time, which was the Roman Empire, and the seventh kingdom had not yet come, but would continue a short space. This seventh kingdom that continued a short space, as we've already said, was most undoubtedly the Third Reich of the Holy Roman Empire or Nazi Germany. 3 years after the fall of Nazi Germany, something very eventful took place. A nation was born. The nation of Israel. And so, even though Satan tried to destroy God's people, 6 million Jews died in Hitler's death camps. In places like Auschwitz, they died. Terrible death. God was still in control. Don't think that God was on the sidelines or God had disengaged himself. But the Holocaust is what enabled the nation to be born. There would never have been a consensus among the nations of the world to allow a Jewish state had there not been a Holocaust. Never happened. It had been talked about. The British had promised the Jews a state in the Balfour Declaration in the early 1900s. But nothing ever happened. In fact, in the Balfour Declaration, Israel was promised not just the little sliver of land where they now live, but the entire Holy Land, which would have included the Transjordan. Israel was promised Jordan as well as what is now Israel. Not only did they not get what they were promised, but even what they did eventually get, they're trying to take that away from them, even though that it is just a very small parcel of what God promised them through Abraham. They're not satisfied until every Jewish settler is driven into the sea. But I want you to know there's a God that is in control, and that's not going to happen on His watch. Can you say praise the Lord? And so on May the 14th, 1948, just 3 years after the Holocaust, a Jewish state was born. Oh, hallelujah. You're talking about, amen, victory out of defeat. You're talking about a phoenix rising from the ashes. A dream became a reality. That seventh kingdom that was unseen, that was not prophesied of, in fact brought about the nation of Israel. Amen. I thank God that God is in control. Now we want to look at that eighth and final beast empire and how it's made up. So if you have your Bible still open, let's turn back to Revelation chapter 13. We're going to see that the eighth and final beast empire is a composite of all of the previous seven beast empires. It is a composite. And we want to turn to Revelation chapter 13 and begin reading in verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. Now remember the leopard, who was it? It was Greece, the kingdom that preceded the Roman Empire, out of which came Antiochus Epiphanes, who was the forerunner of the Antichrist. Now we are going to see that this final empire looks very much like a leopard. In fact, it was like a leopard. Now, the Roman Empire, in its greatest extent, it covered all this territory that I'm encircling here. And in the midst of that territory was the Mediterranean Sea. All seven of the world empires that bordered this great sea. And that this final beast empire, however, was very much like a leopard. The Greek Empire, now this is Greece and Macedonia here. Everything that Alexander the Great conquered was to the west, or rather to the east. He went all the way as far as the Indus River, which runs through the center of what is now the modern state of Pakistan. All of this territory, all of this area of North Africa, this was the realm of Alexander the Great. The Bible says this beast empire was likened to a leopard. And so that is far removed from the present European Union and the common market that so many have been speculating that was going to be the final world empire. That's not in keeping with the scripture. The Bible says that this beast that rose from the sea was like a leopard. And his feet were the feet of the bear. The bear was Medo-Persia, which is Iran. And his mouth as the mouth of a lion. Lion, the lion was of course Babylon, which is Iraq. None of which are in Europe, but are in the Middle East. The Middle East is now the focus of the world. It will be from this area that the Antichrist will come. Not from Europe, not from Great Britain, it's not Tony Blair. It's not Vladimir Putin. It's not Henry Kissinger, George W. Bush, and it's not Barack Hussein Obama, which is over here. Not any of those men. We don't know who it is, but we know from whence he comes and what nations he will rule over. Men, how do we know that? What book? Hal Lindsey's late great Planet Earth? From the Bible. This is the only authoritative book. All those other books are good for references and for study, but there's only one authoritative book that we can depend on, and that's the one that you hold in your hand tonight. The Bible. The Word of God. And if it cannot be verified from the Bible, then it's just speculation. Or at worst, heresy. But if it comes out of this book, it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. And the Bible says, and the dragon, that's the devil, gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. And I saw one of his heads. Now remember, we said previously in Revelation 17 reveals that this beast that's going to be revived was one that was, but is not. It did not exist in John's day. But it existed prior to John's day. So that narrows it down to one of the first five kingdoms, doesn't it? That will be revived. One of the heads was wounded. Remember, the heads represented kingdoms or mountains. One of the kingdoms would be revived because one of its heads, not the man. You know, a lot of people have said that Antichrist is going to receive a wound to the head and going to die and be raised back up. I was taught that. But is that what the Bible teaches? I didn't know a man had more than one head. This be said, one of his heads. So if talking about the Antichrist, I don't know which head he's going to have. But it's talking about the beast. One of the kingdoms is going to be revived. This is a symbol. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. So it is that this individual that shall come to power will revive one of the five kingdoms that existed prior to the Roman Empire. Now, we've already went over the seven, and we also have gone over the five. So these seven empires, of the seven, let's go over the seven: Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, Nazi Germany. Now, these seven empires all exist today as nation states, with the lone exception, which one is the exception? Can you figure it out? Is there an Egypt today? Yes, and it's known as Egypt. Is there a Babylon today? Yes, it's known as Iraq. Is there a Medo-Persia today? Yes, it's known as Iran. Is there a Greece today? It's known as Greece. Is there a Rome? Yes, it's known as Italy. Is there a Nazi Germany? Yes, it's Germany. Germany is a united kingdom now. East and West are united together. There's one of these kingdoms that does not exist. Assyria does not exist. So somebody says, there's Assyria? Yes. But the Syrians and the Assyrians are two different people. They're not the same. There is still an Assyrian people that speak the Assyrian language, that keep their Assyrian customs, and there is Assyria. The Syrians are the Arameans. You know that much of the Bible was written in Aramaic, which was the language not of Assyria, but the language of Syria. Damascus is the capital of Syria, and that is the home of the Aramean people. The Arameans are the Syrians, but they're not Assyrians. Most Syrians are Muslims. Do you know what Assyrians, the majority of them, are? Most Assyrians are Christians. They belong to various Christian churches throughout the Middle East, and as a result, they are a very persecuted people in the Middle East today. That Assyria is the only one of these seven world empires that does not exist as a nation state. In fact, the empire that was Assyria is divided today primarily among three kingdoms. What was once the capital of Assyria was Nineveh, which is outside of Mosul, Iraq. And so Iraq was a part of Assyria. Syria was a part of ancient Assyria, as well as a great part of the nation of Turkey. That this was the heart of Assyria. Syria, Iraq, and Turkey. And the Assyrians, they conquered Israel. And they didn't stop at Israel, but they continued down and they conquered Egypt. Egypt became under the control of the Assyrians. Now remember that it said that three kingdoms were going to be plucked up by the roots. Now I know that this is lengthy, so I don't want to take this too long, but I do want to make a few points before we stop tonight. That on the flags of the world, if any of you have got a book with the flags of the world, go to the page where the flags of Syria, Iraq, and Egypt are concerned, and compare those three flags. They're very similar in their design. Now, on the Iraqi flag, there are three stars. Now, I was inquisitive. I wanted to know why. What do, you know, star symbols usually mean something. What did that represent? And much to my surprise, that those three stars on the Iraqi flag stand for three nations: Syria, Iraq, and Egypt. It has long been the desire of the Pan-Arab Union to unite those three nations into an Arab superstate. I believe, and the Bible backs it up, that the Antichrist will unite three kingdoms into one, for he will pluck up three nations by the roots. Now, what nations? Does the Bible specifically name them? Well, not exactly, but it does name the seven that are not plucked up. And by naming the seven that are not plucked up, we are able to arrive at who the three are that are removed from power. Because there are ten altogether, and they are a composite of the seven previous beast empires. All right? Now let's look at, first of all, let's look at the book of Isaiah. Is it scriptural that Assyria will be revived in the last day? The Bible says that one of the five, one of those that was not, that was and is not, and yet is, will be revived. That is it biblical that Assyria will be revived in the last days? The Bible says yes. How do we know? Let's go to the book of Isaiah and see the answer there. In Isaiah chapter 11, we're going to first begin, because Isaiah has got all kinds of information about the end time. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 15 and 16 is where we're going to read. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left. That's talking about the Jews. There's going to be a highway that is going to be for the remnant of the Jews to return back into the land. From Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. So God's going to dry up the river for the children of Israel so that they can return back to the promised land. And they're going to return where? From Assyria. So Assyria's where? Right here, Iraq and Syria and Turkey. The river in the seven stream, that is the Euphrates River. And the head of that river is in Turkey. It runs from Turkey through Syria, through Iraq, and into the Persian Gulf. And so the Bible talks about that river being dried up for the kings of the east when they march into Israel to fight the battle of Armageddon. But here the Bible says that God will dry it up, and he will also dry up the tongue of the Egyptian Sea. What is the Egyptian Sea? That's the Red Sea. God's going to dry it up so that the Jews can walk across it on dry ground. I used to get excited in Sunday school class when I read about the miracles, how God led the children of Israel out. But he's going to have a highway from Egypt to Assyria, and he's going to dry up the rivers, he's going to dry up the sea, and he's going to make a pathway for the children of God. It's going to be a literal highway. Isn't that awesome? And it mentions Assyria here. Now look at Isaiah 19 and verse 23. Isaiah 19 and verse 23 says, in that day there shall be a highway, that's that same highway, out of Egypt to Assyria. And the Assyrian shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria. And the Egyptian shall serve with the Assyrians. In that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, mine inheritance. So Assyria will be, once again, an important part of the landscape in the latter days. And of all of the nations of the Middle East, the two nations that have the most Christians are as among the Assyrians and the Egyptians. There is a large church in Egypt, and it's called the Coptic Church, that has held fast against the persecution of the Muslim leadership, but they've held fast, that the Bible tells us that they are going to be converted to the Lord in the last days, and that the Lord is going to reign over not only Israel, but over Assyria and Egypt as well. Hallelujah! Amen. I don't have time to go over all the rest, but let me give you some more references. Isaiah 27 and 12. Also Isaiah 10, 24. Isaiah 14, 24 and 26. Also give us references on the negative side. Now these are all positive references to Assyria. But it also talks about the Antichrist, and it calls him the Assyrian. So we know where he comes from. He comes out of Assyria. Now, since there is no nation of Assyria, but the Assyrian people dwell in Turkey, Syria, in Iraq, as well as other countries, but primarily in the Middle East, we can now know from whence he comes. Ezekiel will give us more detail, but I don't have time to go into all that tonight. But as we go deeper into this study, we will see that the Bible specifically tells what country the Antichrist is going to come from. It tells us specifically the seven nations over which he will rule. And we, from the fact that three of them are plucked up, and we have a symbol of the kingdoms that make up the empire, the leopard, the lion, and the bear, we can identify the three that were plucked up and thus know that the empire of the Antichrist is right here in the Middle East. The ten are all a part of the old Roman Empire. For the ten horns came out, what? Of the Roman Empire, but not from Europe. No European nation is mentioned in the Old Testament regarding the end time. But they are all right here. And they are represented by a leopard, a lion, and a bear. Amen. I want to be ready when Jesus comes. Amen. The more we understand about the Word of God, the more we understand about the things that are transpiring in our world, the better prepared we're going to be. Amen. To be a witness. Amen. To stand firm in our faith. To recognize the nearness of the hour. That our president, President Barack Hussein Obama, shortly after he took office, one of the first nations that he visited was Turkey. And on that initial visit, talking with the Turkish Prime Minister, that he urged him to take a more active role, what? In the Mideast peace process. Urging him to take the leadership so that America could begin to back away. Why would he ask him to broker a treaty? Because America has failed. Not only that, but Turkey and Israel have for many decades shared intelligence with one another, because that Turkey faces a very real threat from Islamic radicals. And ever since the Ataturk took over the country right after World War II, that the Turks have tried to build a secular society. And so they have been a common friend of Israel. Even though they're a Muslim nation, They have maintained very close diplomatic ties and also in the sharing of intelligence. And more recently, there has been a rift between Israel and Turkey. That flotilla that went down to aid the Palestinians not very many months ago originated in Turkey. And we know that that did not end very well. But I want you to know that all of these events are not by accident. We are near the end. And the Bible will be fulfilled to the very letter. Amen. We can know. We don't have to speculate. We can know beyond the shadow of a doubt. Amen. The nations that are going to be involved, that are going to influence end time events, and therefore make us more ready to encourage us to do more. If ever there was a time we needed to reach the world, that we needed to see souls saved, that we needed to get our families in, it's now. Because the coming of the Lord is at hand. Praise God. Would you stand? Hallelujah. I'm going to turn this service to our pastor, Brother Grissom. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. And it's been our pleasure.
How long does it take to birth a nation? Does it take decades? Does it even take a year? No. All it takes is a declaration, a constitution, and a nation's born. Israel was born overnight and attacked the same day they were born. But 46 million Arabs could not drive a handful of Israelis into the sea like they said they would, because God said, oh no, not this time, and protected them. So it doesn't take long, folks. I know Brother Hart's explained beautifully here tonight and clearly from Scripture. And not a lot of speculation here. We're not talking about things that, quite frankly, are a little hard to swallow sometimes. Some people take some great liberty trying to force prophecy to fit something they think. But don't do that. You don't need to force prophecy. It will reveal itself. And so we can make ourselves foolish by doing that. A very brilliant writer that I received a lot of good information from, but she made a huge mistake. She went out on a limb and said that Anwar Sadat will be the Antichrist, and wrote a whole book. Right after that, he was assassinated, and he's off the scene. He didn't resurrect on the third day. He didn't have the deadly wound. He's dead. He's gone, and has been for 20-some years. So it doesn't take long, folks. Amen. God could, these nations could get together, they could sign a treaty, and Assyria could be born overnight. And the world could be shocked. Amen. And so it doesn't take a long time for these things to come to pass. Amen. God is, it's amazing what He's doing. And but you know what our job is? Be not weary in well-doing, that you faint not. That's your job, and that's my job. Just don't get weary. Amen. Don't get bewildered. Amen. Don't be weary of mind, spirit, or soul. Be strong in the Lord. Amen. And steadfast in His Word. And forward we go. Thank you tonight, Brother Hart. This was a tremendous exposition of Scripture, and it's very enlightening. Amen. All right, let's look to the Lord together right now, and let's ask Him to bless us. Jesus Christ, help us to be effective in our time. Help us to be effective with this generation. Help us, O God, to be great witnesses in these last days. Help us to be winsome. Lord, help us to somehow get away from anything that would make a negative impression to the point that people would not love you or your church. But as you gave favor in Scripture, I'm asking you to do it again. Lord, help us to reach our city. Help us to reach Kaufman, Texas. Help us to reach out to these little towns that are all around us. People, God, are that out in the woods and on the lakes. And help us, God, to reach all those that are within the sound of our voice and our reach today. And Jesus, I know that you're coming soon. Help us to have a vision and be passionate about serving you and the winning of souls. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. The purpose of prophecy is just to understand what God's up to so we can be a part of it. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the name of the Lord.